Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Right from the start, Ron, we invite Pompeiani in here to augment the show, to basically be the star.
There's no doubt about that.
We put him up on a pedestal. And the guy's not here. I mean,
is
he's
in the building.
He's in the building. He went to go. He makes side money here, right?
More
he's
than doing, we make in a year.
He's going to do.
He doesn't have
more.
Any respect for us. He shows up.
He's there. He is
all the time.
Look at him with his commercial reads. He's gonna do more commercials on this show than I am today.
You know, have a little respect for the people you work with. What Jim Leland always used to have: show up on time and play hard. Those were his only two rules.
You sure
show
you can,
up on time.
I was. Joe knows
sure
I was on time.
Here today,
Joe
Bob?
Knows I was
oh,
on time, Ron. I was in the back. The computer would not work.
The computer would not work. So what's your
so
priority?
I went to a different computer. It was slower than the first. By the time I got to the printer, it had the wrong cartridge. It printed out. I couldn't even read it. I went to four. See,
what were you doing on the computer? That's the question.
Yeah, printing.
Couldn't you do
printing
the computer
what?
After the show
printing
instead
what?
Of interrupting our time?
What were you printing?
It's irrelevant. Let's
yeah,
talk
about
it.
Yeah, you're printing your little commercial over there.
What am
so
I
you come
do?
In here and make money.
Oh, geez.
Ron, how are you today?
Little tired. Got home about 1:30 this morning from Cincinnati. Drove home in the rain, but at least it was an entertaining game, and the Steelers won, and makes it interesting post-bye now, doesn't it?
Man, I'll say. Bob, welcome to the show, albeit a little late. How are you?
Just wonderful. It was a great morning, to be honest.
What was so great about it?
I just got up early. The woodpecker's pecking at my house. I had to go out and shoo him around with an umbrella.
So is this the same woodpecker? There's
same one.
He has a family?
I'm learning a lot
he?
About them. Number one,
yeah.
They're an endangered species, so you can't do much. Number two, they're very territorial. Number three, they drive you crazy because they just nonstop. If they had, you know, if some of the teams and players had the work ethic of the woodpecker, you know, people would be undefeated.
Well, the segue there is that the Steelers were almost an endangered species, but they come up with a big win in Cincy. And to me, my primary takeaway, I'm going to ask you guys, my primary takeaway is that they're now in the conversation and in a big way too, just a half game back. Whereas if they lose that game, then you start to really wonder, the division kind of seems to start falling out of reach, but it didn't. Bob?
No, I think it was very important. Given where they were in the AFC North, Joe and Ron, obviously, you don't want to go 0-2-1. Those are tiebreakers that come into play, and they really do. But I thought their defense, for as good as it was at times, it also was bad when it had to be good. Right before the end of the first half, I couldn't understand why people were so wide open on that drive after the good field position.
I could. Artie Burns was covering.
Well, Artie Burns, right. I mean, I don't know what was going on there. And they got a dilemma in that department. But I think overall, you know, when the offense had to step up and do what they did, they did. They won the game that they normally do in Cincinnati. So that's a big win for them, no
yeah,
doubt.
18-3 at Paul Brown Stadium now. It just is amazing. Now, at least the short-term schedule is in their favor. It gets tougher down the road, but they have a bye week. You think they can get healthy and rest up a little bit. Then they have Cleveland at home. Cleveland was just awful at home against the Chargers yesterday. And then you go to Baltimore. You win those two games, you set yourself up pretty nice for the second half of the season. But it all started with that win yesterday. And you kind of felt like they were going to win all along when Cincinnati scored with a minute 18 to go. Left Ben a long time to go up the field. Got a defensive holding call, which helped. Nice pass to Juju down the middle, then the touchdown to Antonio. They were pretty happy in that room afterwards, I can tell you. The quarterback was pretty happy. Emotional talking about Ryan Shazier. Tomlin was more emotional than usual, I think all because they went back and wanted a place where Shazier was hurt last year.
Yeah, and may very well have saved their season, at least as far as winning the division. The other thing, Ron, with the schedule coming up, we're just watching highlights up there of New England. Guess who's got to go to Kansas City next Sunday? That would be the Bengals, and I don't think that's going to turn out very well for them in KC. So who knows, 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, but two games from now, we could very well, if the Steelers go into Baltimore and win and beat Cleveland, they could be in first place at that point. In the meantime, the news today, this has become like Yager Watch. is Le'Veon Bell. Will he report? The morning show guys got a call from somebody on the south side saying he was at a gas station somewhere. Do you think he's showing up this week? Gut feel?
My feel, yes. I don't know that I believe the call from the south side. I mean, maybe he is, maybe not. You know, people love to call in and report things like that that may be not true. Did you see he tweeted during the game a little bit of respect towards James Conner? What
he did.
Damn James with flexing the muscle, the bicep, after Conner ran over a bunch of people. This team isn't waiting for him to come back. I still think he can help them down the road, but it was pretty clear after the game. They really believe in Conner, and if Le'Veon shows up, they'll welcome him, find a place for him. But if he doesn't, they're moving ahead.
I think he'll be back, and I took that a little differently, that little emoji. I thought it looked like, you're making it tougher to get my job back. You know, damn Conner. That's how I looked at it. I understand you can take it a lot of different ways, like text messaging. They could
what do
be
you
interpreted.
Mean?
I don't know.
How
I just
are you taking it?
I'm taking it like, man, it's going to be harder to get my job back. And
I
it should
it was
be.
A sign.
And it
I
should
thought
be.
It was I thought just it was respect.
A complimentary, like,
yeah,
damn,
yeah.
James.
You just ran over 18 people when he flexed
the muscle.
Or damn,
James. Man, you're getting, you know, how are you going to make it hard for me to get back in the lineup?
I don't think Le'Veon's worried about that.
Yeah, but should he be?
I think he'll get back in the lineup eventually if he shows he can help them win. But I don't think he lacks for any self-confidence or belief in himself. I took it the way Joe did, the sign of respect.
And then James tweeted him back and said, I've been watching film on you lately.
Which is why we had a lot of calls yesterday on our postgame show talking about it, distractions and how the team would receive him. And I said, nothing could be further from the truth. They're going to welcome him back. That whole stuff is, you know, water under the bridge.
As long as he's in shape and shows he can.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be.
If he's not, they won't welcome him.
Do you doubt that he will?
No, I don't, because he's always been a maniacal workout guy. But I'm just saying, if he's not in shape, it's not going to be a happy story.
But he will be, and that'll lead to an interesting dilemma, because Mike Tomlin likes to ride one guy, and he's going to have to maybe change his philosophy.
If the offensive linemen have a vote and the quarterback, I would imagine that would be a unanimous vote going against Cleveland. And maybe even forward. If James Conner, would you agree, is the single biggest individual story thus far this season? I think he is by far on this team.
He surprised me by how well he's played in all facets.
Me too. Here's a tweet from Don Marinelli over at the Steelers. Since 1970, only five players have rushed for at least 100 yards and two touchdowns in three of his team's first six games of a season. Chris Johnson, Sean Alexander, Priest Holmes, Emmett Smith, and James Conner. And he should have had another touchdown yesterday.
Yep.
That was a touchdown.
It was. I was surprised they didn't challenge that. That to me was
What's
much...
going on with the challenge system over there? I mean, I don't want to make
Tomlin
a big deal
said
of that.
He didn't see
Actually,
it.
I do.
The scoreboard didn't show up, but he has coaches up in the booth that are supposed to be talking to him. Why they challenged the spot earlier in the game, I have no idea. And the one you wish they had, he didn't. But he was asked about it after the game, and he said, you know, we're in a visiting stadium. They don't put the replays on the board. He said, I wasn't comfortable because I didn't see it. But he's got to have coaches upstairs telling him, challenge, challenge, right? And it became a, you know, you wouldn't think it'd be a big deal. You think they could punch it in from the one-yard line, but they couldn't and had to settle for a field goal.
Why is it that we know the other team's process and who is in the booth actually looking at these plays? Like, it's – like, people want to blame Tomlin, and partially, I guess, it's on him, but it's really on the person who's studying these things on a monitor.
But they don't know who he is, so therefore the head coach takes the criticism.
That's probably why he does that. But we know with the Penguins, it's Kevin
Saucier.
Yeah, I think it's Saucier or whatever his name is. We know how that process works. We know who it is. We know Kevin Roach does it for the Pirates, and we know how that process works. Why don't we know more about this or who's doing this? Probably you're right, Bob, because he wants to protect him.
Yeah, I don't know what else there can be because we don't know. I think it's an assistant coach. But
who's ever doing it's doing a bad job. Can we say that?
Yeah, you know, but some of these don't. Like, as Ron said, that first one with Switzer, what was the benefit of that?
That's what I'm saying.
That was the wrong time to pull. Now, this other one.
It was blatant that he didn't reach the first down line.
Yeah,
right?
I think everyone saw that clear as day. Even on, if you look at a stadium replay, Ron, I'm sure you would have seen, right? You didn't think Switzer had a first down.
No, but even the point, what you have to gain there is not.
That's what I mean. It's,
you know, to
the
lose,
Conner one
to
is
lose
a, big...
a timeout. Yeah, and I'm just telling you what he said after the game.
The biggest story, other than the win, which is the biggest story, was Vontaze Burfict. Thoughts?
Another dirty hit on Brown. I mean, elbow to the head, I assume. I don't know that he's going to get suspended for it. I would think the league will look at it.
It could be
a fine. I talked to Ben about it afterwards, and he said he pointed at Juju right afterwards and said, "You're next." You know, the Steelers, Villanueva had some strong things to say. They're pretty disgusted with him. Ben said, remember when Ben snuck, and apparently the Steelers called the timeout before his sneak, and he said, Burfict got in my face, and he said, I just told him, nice to see you back out here. And he said he wanted to fight, you know. And he's just, that's what he is, you know. And that's why I think when they review the film today and they see Vance McDonald running him over, I wouldn't be surprised there's a standing ovation in that room.
Connor did it too.
Yeah.
Busted right through him. By the way, he was going
He's the one that knocked out the safety, too,
on the same play. And Burfict was going for a helmet shot there. If you look at the final drive, the first pass to Juju, I tweeted a little screenshot of it today. He goes, that was his one chance to take a shot at Juju, and he took it. You go back and look at that play, and Juju ducked under it the way you would duck under a wave because Burfict came in real low, helmet first. He was out to injure people again. And we asked the question last week, if you gave this dude truth serum and said, would you rather hurt Juju or win this game, what would it rather be? And I'm convinced it would have rather been get Juju or get somebody else. He wasn't even on the field after he got run over by McDonald.
Both
he came off the field.
He was out for the last couple of plays of the first half. Then he came back. Juju said he major threats. He said they were dropping F-bombs. And Ben said left and right threats towards Juju the whole game. And it looked like it might have got to him a little bit early. He dropped a pass, and then he kind of short-armed a pass.
Yeah.
And then he was tremendous the rest of the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it was in his head a little bit. I also have a different take on this because listening to Chris Hoke on our postgame show, he explained it because I agree with what you guys said about Burfict and his intent to injure because I believe that's part of his DNA.
They've emasculated him, Bob, now on multiple occasions.
They have,
but go ahead.
But what Hoke said was this is more a process of Vontaze Burfict doesn't know how to tackle. He has the worst form of any tackler he said he's seen. And if you watch him play, even on the quarterback sneak by Ben Roethlisberger, he wasn't trying to stop him. He was trying to lower his head into him. And
sure
Ben
was.
Avoided him, but it
sure
didn't count
was.
Anyway.
I forgot about that.
And so Hoke said he's just awful when it comes to technique and tackling. That's how he tackles, period. He does it every time he tackles. He does not do it the way you should do it. And as a result, he's putting himself in harm's way.
Well, the AB hit was, to me, a clear intent. Not to injure. A clear intent to knock out.
Right.
Would you agree? Both of you agree with that?
What's the difference?
Well,
injure or knockout,
yeah.
That's the same
thing.
He threw his elbow at his head. I mean, I don't know how much helmet-to-helmet contact there was. It was more of a forearm, I thought. But clearly should have been a penalty. And then I think the league will fine him, I would guess.
Yeah, I meant not just to injure a guy, but
to completely knock him out of the game and
take him out.
What he likes to do,
and
right?
And he should be suspended for that. That's a
he has a history.
Shot.
That's if that was somebody else who didn't have had a clean slate, then fine. You could have said, well, you know, he was trying to make some play. This is a guy who's had this done before.
He's taken it now beyond Matt Cook with the Penguins, where you can't help him. Like, he needs something outside the game to help him be able to function.
Did you read Villanueva's quote to me about how it's hurting the game? It's hurting parents that are trying to decide if they want their kids to play football.
Yeah.
He said, for a guy to continue to make it more than just a game of football, basically, shame on him. I thought it was very well said by Al.
Coming up, let's dive back into that. I think Burfict is probably something that a lot of people want to talk about. Do you think that he should be suspended for that? And just what do you make of the whole spectacle of it? And what's your primary takeaway from this win? 412-928-9370.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.